Psalm 71, verse 1 through 8. Excuse me. In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Rescue me and deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me and save me. Be my rock of refuge, to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of evil and cruel men. For you have been my hope, O sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. From birth I have relied on you. You have brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you. I have become like a portent to many, but you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 12. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. Be set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity.
Thank you, Elizabeth, for reading that. This morning, we're going to be talking to our youth advisors. So if you folks would come up, Kelly, Trevor, Carlin, there's others who are not here this morning. And we're going to be asking them some questions. I know some of you say, well, we need more young folks in our congregation. They actually are here. We want there to be more. But what happens on Sunday nights is pretty invisible. So I thought, since we're having a break in our belief series because of the congregational meeting, this would be a good time to find out what goes on Sunday nights and what's happening with our youth. So we've got some questions that I sent out to them, and so you're all duly prepared to answer them, I know. And so we're going to just have a little talk show moment and let you hear from them. So the first question that I sent to all of you is to tell us a little bit about yourselves and why you do youth ministry, and we want to hear from all of you on that one. Yeah.
So my name is Trevor Walker, and I've been a part of this church for about 6 years now. Didn't really have a youth group that I attended through high school, or junior high for that matter. I went to a private Christian high school, so I had a really good group of friends, had a Bible study outside of school, and that's where really a lot of my faith really started. And I knew that sort of, it was junior year, and I can remember it was like just these awesome Bible studies that we had, and realized like that's when people start to become adults, right? It's not when you magically become 18, you become an adult. It's this, you know, sort of spectrum that you move through. And for me, it was that junior year Bible study, and I realized, you know what, this is real. And so when I got involved with West Valley, I didn't do any youth ministry. I still kind of had that in the back of my mind. Like, high school is a really important time. And we kind of sat around and watched and got involved in music first. And then we had this kickoff Sunday. And Kelly and I have been praying about, you know, do we want to get involved in youth ministry? And we thought we did. We felt like God was calling us to. And so Matt mentioned on that Sunday that, hey, we have a need for it. And we're like, well, let's see what happens. And so we walk up to Matt afterward, and Matt's like, I don't know, I just got this feeling like I feel like I should ask you guys to do youth ministry. And we're like, oh, that's funny. We were going to ask you if we could do youth ministry. And so it's really this awesome opportunity where God just brought two groups together. There was a need, there was a desire, and like I said, that was 5 years ago. We've been doing it really ever since.
So my name is Kelly Walker. I used to be Kelly Eshoff. And when I was Kelly Eshoff, I was a member of the youth group here at West Valley. I grew up here. This is my home church. And I went through the junior high and high school programs here. And for me, that was what kept me going through some very tough adolescent years. Those years are tough on everyone. And for me, the youth group was what drove me through junior high and high school. It was a place where I feel like my faith really became my own, It was the place where I felt that for the first time I could be myself and express what this very important part of my life, my faith, meant to me without being seen as the weird one, that weird Christian girl. I did not go to private high school. Well, I went to private high school, but I did not go to private school before that. And so in my public middle school, I was often that weird Christian girl. But here it was my safe space. It was an incredibly important place for me as a teenager. And like Trevor mentioned, we sort of had this idea in the back of our minds about 6 years ago that maybe we should do youth ministry, knowing that it was a really important time in people's lives and in their faith development. And like you said, you know, we had been praying about it and talking about it, and finally got up the courage to approach Matt, our youth director at the time, and say, "Hey, we want to get involved. We want to become youth advisors." And as we were walking up to him, he came to us and said, "Hey, want to be youth advisors?" And it's amazing what God can do to put people in the places of ministry that they're supposed to be in.
Yeah.
Hey, how's it going, church? My name is Carlin, and like sort of why I got interested in high school ministry. I kind of grew up sort of similar to Trevor. When I was in high school, I didn't really have a youth fellowship or any sort of high school ministry, so I was kind of like that isolated Christian by himself. And I didn't really understand the actual importance of having a high school ministry till I eventually got into college and joined a college ministry, you know, known as InterVarsity at De Anza. And during that time, I heard testimonies of like how broken like a lot of students were inside high school. There was a one student, her name was Jessie. She went to Gunn High School, which is what you guys probably heard like a lot of news stories about Gunn. It's like probably one of the highest suicide / depression rates in all the high schools inside this Bay Area. And that really just kind of spoke to me about her testimony and her dealing with depression. And there was just so much built up from school and pressure inside the high school environment that I feel like high schoolers need a safe place where they can just really just be with God, because it's so easy for us to fall inside the habit of like separating school and Christ together. But to really establish a safe place where we can all just like come into fellowship is just so important. And that's probably why what really just sparked my interest in joining this is that I want to be able to provide or help provide like a safe space for high schoolers to be able to like just come into fellowship with one another. So, yes, that's me.
Well, thanks for sharing that. And for each one of you, this is a personal journey that you're putting into action. So it's heartfelt. You've been through it yourself. So for those of us that are not here on Sunday nights, which is most of us, tell us what happens in a high school youth group on Sunday nights. What take us through what that looks like and kind of what your goal is as you do it. You want to go first by any chance? Go for it.
All right. All right, so a typical Sunday night would look like, first things first, we always have to provide food because, you know, high schoolers, like college students, we all like to eat, so that's very important. So we provide dinners for all the high schoolers, and then we go into sort of games to really just get connected with one another, to really break the ice, and just really gives like a free environment for them to express themselves. And after games, we go into worship. We want to spend some time with God and fellowship inside music. And after that, that's when we break into like separated groups, and that's when we get into the Bible. So mainly what we've been doing so far, well, since I joined, is that we've been going over the story of Jesus, in which that we're trying to really discover what Jesus was doing during his time here. And really just trying to find some sort of like application / like understanding about his parables, about his miracles, about like all his healings, just to kind of like give the students an idea of like really how great God is. And we spent like majority of our time going into that. And then after that, we just clothes, and we send off everyone to home, and then repeat next Sunday. Or sometimes we'll have like special events, like even recently, like we went up to the pumpkin maze and we all like had some fun there. So that was a good time. So yeah, it's a typical Sunday, what it looks like.
Anything else?
Yeah, I mean, we're good Presbyterians. We eat good food and have good conversations. And have good.
Very good. Thank you. So share with us at least two exciting things that have happened in the youth ministry in the past year or so.
Me.
Go ahead.
Well, I think one of the exciting things is actually on stage with us. Carlin has been an absolute, literally a godsend to us. And it's funny. Please. You know, like I mentioned before, I truly believe that God sets certain things in motion and makes it abundantly clear when certain things should happen. And when our previous youth director left and, I was serving with a bunch of other people in this church on a search committee for a director, we had a really hard time finding people. Like, I swear, it must have lasted like a year worth of searching and getting our hopes up and then just crashed. And then hopes up and crash and interim. And these people kind of phasing in and out. We're like, what is going on? Like, this is insane. Like, it was a struggle the entire year. And it was frustrating for sure. And, Kelly and I and Joe and Katie just kind of kept on going and trying to be a good, happy face for the kids. And like, yeah, things are still going. And like, it's awesome. But in the back of our mind, we're like, oh my gosh, like how long is this going to last? And so when this last phase went through, we started hearing rumblings of this guy from InterVarsity. And we're like, okay, well, like I'm super interested in that, because when Kelly and I were down in Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, InterVarsity was the one campus group that grounded us. She went off to school a year before I did, and it was rough for her. And I'm speaking for you there, but like there was no connection on campus, and Campus Crusade was just huge, like way too many people. And InterVarsity was just this perfect size group that met weekly, that allowed Bible studies with guys and girls in it so that we could study the Word together. And InterVarsity was just this awesome thing that really helped solidify our faith and keep it going through college. And so when we heard this, like, InterVarsity guy, we're like, what? Tell us a little bit more about him, because, like, that sounds awesome, because we know and we really believe in what InterVarsity does, just as people who went through it. And so we sat down, and it was a whirlwind, and all of a sudden Carlin's in, and he's doing great things, and it's really cool to see God take a struggle, something that the whole church fought with and wrestled with for an entire year, and then all of a sudden everything gets lined up in a row, and we get someone in here, and he's doing great. So that is one of the most exciting things that I can see right now. It's that energy back in youth group, energy back in youth ministry in general at the church, and I'm very excited about that.
Absolutely, I totally agree with that. It's been awesome to have Carlin, and I have already we've already seen him, contribute so much to our group, just in his energy and his passion for Christ and his easy way of connecting with the kids. And we're really excited to see where that continues to go. And before Carlin came, as most of you know, Trevor and I and Joe and Katie had sort of been kind of keeping things going, like he said. We tried to continue all of our normal programming, our Sunday nights, and all of our summer activities, including Houseboats, which is our big summer camp. This last year on Houseboats, this last summer, we had 7 or 8 kids from our Crash Zone, our after-school program, come on Houseboats. Now, Crash Zone is a whole other exciting thing in itself, because this is the first year we've ever had 5 days a week of Crash Zone. There's just been so much demand for that after-school program that now we have added a full extra day. We're at 5 days a week, and that's really exciting. We just get more kids on our campus and more families coming on our campus as a result of that program. And we also get kids from Crash Zone plugging into our regular weekly ministries, which is really exciting. We had a handful of kids, 7 or 8 kids, go on houseboats from our Crash Zone program this last summer, and that was about a third of the total number of kids who went on houseboats. So a third of our houseboats group was straight from Crash Zone. And I believe 4 of those 7 or 8 kids made a decision for Christ for the first time ever on houseboats. So, yeah, absolutely. So just the outreach that we're doing through our Crash Zone program and the way that it's growing and the way that we're able to pull kids in from that ministry into our regular youth group has been really, really exciting.
That's great. That's wonderful. Thank you for letting us know what's going on. And as I look out, I see people smiling and nodding. I know people want to support you. I know it's challenging, too, to be in youth ministry. What are some of the challenges, and how can we support you in this ministry?
Looking out, too, I see parents of some of our students in here. And then I see some students whose parents aren't here, and I feel like that's one of the struggles that we experience in youth ministry here in the church. It's been something that we've been seeing for a couple of years now, and it's a shift from how youth ministry used to be done here at West Valley and in many churches around here, where the primary students that we have in our group are sort of what we call the core kids, the kids that have parents that are involved in the church, that are serving in various capacities, that the students can look to and see, this is what model behavior is. This is what it means to be a servant. This is what it means to be a Christian. And it's awesome when churches have that and you have that core group of kids, because you can rely on them. There are certain things that you can do with them that you might not be able to do with students that are brand new to the faith. And we've been seeing this migration over the last few years, that there are more and more church kids that are either graduating, moving out of the program, and we're seeing, I think even more so, students from Crash Zone coming in that don't have families tied in with this church. And it presents a unique problem for us, because here we are on Sunday evenings, and we have these discussions where our church, our core church kids, some of them go to private Christian schools. They're like, hey, like, we really want to get involved. We really want to like dive deep in the Bible and talk about this and talk about that. And why does this happen this way? And why does that happen this other way? And we have other kids that are like, who is Jesus? Like, can you like start from the very beginning? And so that's a struggle that we have, is like, there's such a wide variety. And in some ways I say that's a struggle, but in other ways, like, that's a blessing, right? Because that's kind of how our church is, right? We have new members that come in that are brand new Christians, and we have new members that are old Christians, and we have people that have been in the church for a long time that are new Christians, and people that have been in the church for a long time that are, developed Christians, I guess. And so there's this constant spread of people and their faith, and it's good to be in a community where you have that that diversity. And so that is a struggle that we have, though, where these kids are trying to figure this all out, and we're trying to build out programming for everyone and tapping our more established Christians as role models and mentors and people to help us lead Bible studies with the students. That is a struggle, and ways that you guys might be able to help us in a congregation is realizing that we have students of various needs, and we have students that are coming in that are looking to go deeper, and students that want to participate in the second hour service or the second hour Bible studies here. And, they'll come to us and be like, hey, like, we really wanted to talk, but we didn't feel that we were, that we didn't have a place. And so I'd encourage everyone here to say, you know what, like, yeah, we want to hear you guys. We want to have you involved, because they have a lot of really, really good things to say. And yeah, there are times, I got my degree in history and I love theology. And there are times where I sit back and like, oh my gosh, how am I going to answer this question? Like, they get really deep and they have these really good conversations. And so I love it, and it'd be great if we continue to build that bridge, right? That's kind of how I see myself in youth ministry, being a bridge, so that when kids are coming up and they're juniors and seniors, right, they're starting to get that adult phase, I can be the, hey, I'm going to grab you and I'm going to plug you in this other place because you need a place to go after high school. We would have been lost in college without a place like InterVarsity, and I'm afraid that some of our kids as they're graduating high school don't feel they have a place. And so that's kind of my vision and mission here is to get those high schoolers plugged in, and if you guys can help make holes for that, that would be awesome.
Very good. Yeah.
I would agree with that. I think one of the unique challenges of doing youth ministry, not just here but in any church, is that oftentimes youth are seen and not heard, and that's sort of the expectation. This church has been great about welcoming our youth with open arms and connecting with them on Sunday mornings and on trips like Rancho, which we always encourage our students to do because it's an opportunity for them to build relationships with all of you. And we feel that that is just critical to youth ministry, is for them to have relationships not just with us, but with you directly as well. We don't have to be an intercessor, as it were, between youth and all of you. We want them to have relationships with you in and of themselves. And when that becomes a challenge, we have times where we just run into sort of logistical difficulties with that. For example, currently we have the church van, the gray van out there that lots of different groups on campus use, including the youth group. Currently, there are only three youth leaders who are able to drive that van. It's Katie Oxnam, who works on Sundays and isn't able to be here on Sunday mornings or for a lot of other events that we do on the weekends. And then there's Trevor and myself. And while there are many benefits to doing youth ministry with your spouse, one of the downsides is that when one of us is gone, usually we're both gone. And all of a sudden there's no one to drive. Carlin is under the minimum age that currently our insurance requires to drive the church van. He also doesn't have a car, which is another need, by the way. And then Joe also is not able to drive the church van. So that's a big need that we have logistically. That's a challenge that we've run into more than once, is that we just don't have the bandwidth to transport our students sometimes, for certain events, or even just to get them to church. That can be challenging, especially for kids whose families don't go to our church.
Exactly, yeah. So if we have a bunch of kids that now, whose parents aren't really involved in the church here from wide areas around, yeah, a lot of them are within the neighborhood and could technically walk. There are still students that are many, many miles out that are asking on Sunday mornings, like, hey, can we drive? And we're like, maybe if I can ask Steve to not practice on Sunday morning. And he's been very gracious and he's let me, go and pick up students. But that is one of those struggles where we have to go and make these special accommodations to get students here. And it's an awesome thing when students are asking to show up on Sunday morning.
Yeah,
and so
yeah,
we're very pleased to go and do that. But yeah, that is one of those logistical struggles.
So if people would be willing to drive, should they come and talk to you then?
Please.
Okay,
yes,
if you're
please.
Willing to do that. And then what I heard you say, Trevor, is people inviting some of our youth or younger members to an adult ed class, and maybe in the class discussion, asking maybe or giving some space for that individual to share, because they may have some pretty profound questions and that
sort
of thing.
Yeah, I feel like that would be a huge... a bridge, right? Because that's us reaching out our hand saying, hey, we value your feedback.
Right.
And I think, that's really what our students want, is they want to be heard. They want to be validated as, because some of our students have recently turned 18 and they're kind of in this phase where it's like, well, I'm still in high school, so I have to listen to all these rules. But at the same time, I could technically join the military and go, do whatever I want around the world. And so it's this weird balance, and it'd be awesome to have those opportunities where someone reaches out and said, yeah, we do value your impact and we want you to have a place here in this church because you are now, you're a member. You're
right.
Actually, a lot of our students are members. So,
right,
it works in many ways. But then, in terms of one other logistical thought, as Carla mentioned, we do provide dinners for our students on Sunday evenings, and we didn't always do that. That's a relatively new development, but it's really paid dividends because it provides a really low-key way for new students to get plugged in. And I'm thinking over the summer, we had a student just kind of like, she peeked her head in the beginning of dinner. She's like, is this high school group? We're like, yeah, who are you? Oh, well, my mom just dropped me off. I've never been here before. She went to church here when she was in college, and that was like 30 years ago. We're like, oh, well, come on in. And so, like, you know, but it was over dinner where we could start talking, and come to find out she played every game that all of our other high schoolers play and watched the same TV shows. And so now she's like one of our core kids, even though it was just this random drop by, like, oh, well, my mom remembered West Valley from, you know, so many years ago. And suddenly we have this brand new core kid, and she's awesome. And I think that a lot of that is facilitated by this dinner thing. So when we ask for dinner support, it's normally just like, you know, a donated meal. It could be cash. It could be a home cooked meal, like whatever you guys want to donate, but it's normally food for 15 or so. And we spend the first, half hour, 45 minutes just sitting around and talking and building that community, because I think that's what gets these people plugged in. There's a reason why we have dinner before our Wednesday recharge, right? It's a time for people to build community, and it definitely pays dividends. So that's one of those other needs, is figuring out dinner duty on Sunday. We sometimes do it when there's like a gap, so like, you know, don't feel the total pressure of like everything has to be perfect, where we'll just go and grab a bunch of pizzas and everything's cool. But yeah, if you want to volunteer in that way, you make some really good dinner, let us know, because our students would greatly appreciate that.
Okay. Go ahead.
Also, in addition to that, back when I was younger inside high school, I actually grew up with just a mom. Like, it was a single parent, and I remember like the struggles of like having a specific event, like a spelling bee, or maybe like I was running track or a baseball game, and there was like no family able to attend. Like, period. And I remember, like, just that feeling of loneliness and isolation, and just, like, not really feeling like, I guess I mattered. And the same reason, like, why that's happening a lot here, like, I know a lot of parents here are both working, like, full-time jobs just to meet, like, the ends meet for, like, rent and everything. And not only that, but, like, these kids, they really want to be, like, overachievers. They want to do, like, so many things. And yet there's, like, no family support, and there's, like, no one really showing up to them. And I feel like it would just be absolutely awesomely amazing to have some of the members of the church be able to maybe, like, sacrifice, like, a Thursday night to come to one of the members' football games, and then just afterwards say, hey, great down with that touchdown, mm-hmm. or great down with that tackle. And just, like, just think, like, what would that mean to that student, you know? Or what would it mean to a high schooler? Just to knowing that somebody from this congregation, like, actually cares about them. And also just to really just fill in for, like, just a lot of the things that they're missing inside their lives would also just be so important. So really, it would just be just, like, kind of asking just to show up for just, like, a lot of what these kids just have to do inside their own personal lives. And even just giving them, like, a place here in this congregation as well. So even though they might be new or they might be guests, but just that they could feel a part of the family here. Because I know for me growing up, that was definitely like a struggle, like a hard time, knowing that my mom was always busy, and I had to, I guess, just kind of like say, give myself a pat on the back for doing something good. So that would just be awesome if you guys can just, like, you know. And also really prayers help a lot too, in keeping the youth group inside prayer and just building like a little family connection with them.
Thank you so much. I can't tell you how blessed our church is to have all three of you here, so dedicated, working so often behind the scenes, you know, partnering with our youth, ministering to them from your heart and from your own experience. What a wealth of knowledge you bring them, but you also bring compassion, you bring empathy, and you bring the conviction inside of you of the reality of Jesus Christ, which is just amazing. And we are so grateful to you for all that you have done. So can we thank these folks? And and then just real quickly, because we're out of time, if we were to pray for three things for you, what would they be? What would you like us to pray for you?
I would love to pray for just a sense of renewed energy in our group. We're entering kind of a new era with Carlin being here, and we're already starting to see that energy sort of take off again. But I would love to just pray for renewed energy in our group.
Okay.
Just like to pray just that the youth can really just have a home here within the congregation.
Yeah, that's essentially what I was going to say, that we can build this community and realize that everyone here, we're all on the same page, we're all on the same team, and we're really only going to be successful if we have everyone pulling at the same time. And so just, yeah, prayers that we can integrate this church and truly show that we are a, you know, from cradle to grave, we are one body.
Yeah, yeah, and all that you're saying is sort of in line with our vision and in our DNA, that we're an intergenerational church, we're a family church, and it all fits so beautifully, I think, with who we are becoming more and more. Would you pray with me, please? Lord God, thank you for this time when we've been able to find out more about our youth ministry. Thank you so much for Trevor and Kelly and Carlin and all who work with the youth, Lord. We pray for a sense of renewed energy in the youth group as we enter sort of a new era with Carlin here and other things happening. We pray, Lord, that the youth group will just take off and that there will be a sense of excitement in that group, a sense of purpose, and a sense of your presence. Lord, we've also heard a lot today about the church being a safe place, a place where many of the youth who do not have family support can call home. And we just pray that we as a congregation would add to that feeling of safety, of being home. And Lord, help us to come alongside these wonderful youth who you're bringing us from day to day and invite them. Go to the games. Get to know them as perhaps we drive a van or whatever it is, Lord. We pray that they would be able to come here and call this home. Again, thank you for these wonderful leaders. Bless them with an extra measure of your Holy Spirit in the days ahead. We thank you, Lord, that you are real, that you are alive, and that you change lives, and that you change the lives of our youth again and again. So we pray again for Carlin and Kelly and Trevor. Send them on their way and bless their ministry. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.